CliffCentral.com.
Ah, what a song. Pat Benatar. This is because we've got an 80s show coming up later on today with Dorry and Paolo. So listen to that on CliffCentral.com live at 11 a.m. this morning. Lots of fun. And people are, well, clearly a lot of Pat Benatar fans that are have been closeted for a long time. They've all come running out. Like Nisco, who says, I love that song. Legendary song. All right, a few things that we need to get underway this morning. There's some news that you need to know about. It is Friday, so I hope you're in a good mood. Hope you're ready for the weekend. We're in summer. We've had a little bit of rain, certainly in Gauteng. People are happy about that.
Yeah, very happy.
Yes, because it was looking a little grim for a while. But I'll tell you what else is looking grim, is Prince Andrew.
Oh, gosh.
This creep. So Prince Andrew is friends with Jeffrey Epstein, who, you know, didn't kill himself in prison. And everybody's talking about this. He's the slimiest member of the royal family. And trust me, there are lots to choose from. This guy, he's so bad that he's had to remove himself from all of his official royal duties. And, you know, what that means is he's not going to be cutting any ribbons or opening up any buildings or unveiling any plaques or visiting people in hospital who don't really necessarily want to see him. And if you have to give up some of the easiest work in the world because people don't even want you doing some of the easiest work in the world, you must be a pretty awful human being. He's mixed with some terrible human beings, that's for sure. Whether he himself is an awful person or not, I don't know. But it certainly seems like he's caught up in all of this ugliness around Jeffrey Epstein and the pedophilia and his sex island and all these girls who were hired and, you know, used and abused. And it's just an ugly, ugly story. So what's the latest on what Prince Andrew's going to do?
Yeah, the whole question is, what is he going to do now?
Now that nobody wants him anymore.
So before, his official role was to support the Queen in her work, for example, by attending events on her behalf.
And the Queen's like, fuck that.
You ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So no, he will not be doing that. That part of his life is over.
Uh-huh.
He will likely still attend family events such as the Trooping, the Colour Ceremony, marking the Queen's birthday, or her Christmas celebrations at Sandringham.
He's not doing any of that.
He will be doing those things, okay. But not cutting ribbons or attending charity events.
So he's going to be there like a prop in a stage show.
Yeah. He really doesn't have a role. It's basically an early retirement. Remember in his statement he said, for the foreseeable future, I will be withdrawing from my family's work. And he's, I think, accepted that this is an early retirement as well. The thing is, as well, he'll be paying for his existence still. I mean, surely he should be giving back to society in order to justify using royal property to live in and royal funds to work off of and live off of. And
you know how many people are in that family? Mm. Bunch of parasites. Listen to this. This guy called... There's Prince Michael of Kent. Nobody knows what he does. There's the Duke of Gloucester. He works apparently quite hard. But you wouldn't know him if he jumped out of your Rice Krispies. There's a whole bunch of grandchildren, the Queen's grandchildren and the Queen's cousins' children. You wouldn't know any of these people. And they live in nice houses or they get free rent from the Queen. And yeah. It's a huge number of people. And Prince Andrew's not going to join them. He's used to a certain quality of life, which I think, you know, the Queen's probably going to say to him, if she even cares anymore, she's going to say to him, listen, you've taken up rather a lot of money and time and space, and you've had a very good life up to now. And all you've given me is grief.
Well, it seems that he'll continue to live in the Royal Lodge in Windsor.
Yeah.
That's the historic building that used to be the home of the Queen's sister, Princess Margaret.
Wonder if she left any bottles of whiskey lying around. Andrew's going to need those.
Yeah. It's not unheard of for royals who are not working for the firm full-time to live in an official royal residence. The big question as well now is, what about the wedding?
What wedding?
Princess Beatrice, his daughter's wedding.
Oh, shit. He's really ruined it.
Next year.
Oh, poor Beatrice. Yeah. She can't invite her dad because he's a pervert. to her own wedding.
Yeah, he was expected.
Who's going to walk her down the aisle? He was, Jeffrey Epstein's dead. It'll have to be Dad.
Oh, I wonder if he's going to get into the bridesmaids. But yeah, as the father of the bride, he obviously was expected to play a major role. But this will be very difficult. It's going to be, in fact, remember that Beatrice's sister Eugenie got married last year.
Yeah.
And her wedding was hot off of the heels of Meghan and Harry's wedding.
She didn't get any attention.
Well, she got quite a bit of attention. Oh. It was all on TV, etc.
Oh.
But Beatrice's will not be able to be on TV.
Oh, poor Beatrice.
Because of her father.
She really sucks the hind tit.
Mm. So yeah, that's how it's folding out. And
falling out by the sound of things.
Yeah, falling out. And further commentary has gone as far to say that Prince Andrew's behaviour has put the very future of the monarchy in doubt.
Oh, what a creep.
Because of the refocused scrutiny on the institution that produced him.
Yeah. Well, as we said, condolences in advance for when Andrew has a terrible car crash in a month's time, you know.
Gosh.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Dave Levinson, who's on the line. He's on Skype from the Western Cape. Hey, Dave, are you too busy to come and see us in studio?
I'm just glad I'm on this show. This is fantastic.
Yeah. What's happening, dude?
It sort of puts the royal we into perspective now if he's such a pervert.
Besides Jeffrey Epstein not killing himself, what other stuff do you have to add this morning?
Well, what happened is Kurt Schoonot, I don't know if you know him, the owner of the Cape Town Comedy Club.
That's right. We know Kurt. He's been in the studio a couple of times with us. Yeah, you're doing some
We were sitting in
some kind of road show
in the garden.
Him, right? Yeah.
Well, it was never really meant to be. He's a car collector, and he bought a replica 1941 Käferwagen. Careful how you say that. It's a Volkswagen Beetle, and he. He was sitting there, we were sampling some of my homegrown stuff, and he said, how do I get this car to Cape Town from Joburg? I said, well, we drive it down, and along the way we do some comedy, and then we get some sponsors to pay for it. And he said, how the hell do we do that? But here we are in Cape Town, we did it 3 weeks later.
Well done. So it's just the two of you traveling around the Western Cape?
That's it. We got, I will tell you, it's correct, because they've got like a, I suppose it makes sense. It's chewing gum and it's confidence about your mouth. But anyway,
good for you that someone was prepared to sponsor you. That's very impressive.
Exactly. But they have a campaign at the moment anyway, so they're quite keen to get involved, and it was great. But we did it. We took a camera crew with, and we filmed the whole thing, and we filmed all the comedy along the way in these weird places that we did, Knysna and Pringle Bay and all these weird places.
All right,
we had a cameraman with us. He was more famous than us, because the guy that was filming it was recently in Tomb Raider as like bad guy number 3.
That's amazing.
And Keenan Harrison.
All right,
famous actor.
Where are you going? Like, what's the plan?
We're back already, and we're in Cape Town. I'm busy doing comedy club. You know, you do the week at the comedy club from Wednesday to Sunday.
Right.
And that's I'm here already. So we stopped in Bloemfontein, which was.
Yeah.
We saw some Ford Rangers, and then we stopped in Knysna, we stopped in PE, Knysna, Pringle Bay, which is like a weird, it's like springs by the sea.
It's a strange little place that, and the people who live there think it's awesome, but anyone who comes into it
it's true, it's like maybe if you surf or take a lot of drugs or something, I don't know.
I think that they surf and take a lot of drugs, that's pretty much what they do.
But they were very proud to tell us that the hotel we were staying in used to be a radar center for Second World War female soldiers, and it ended up becoming a little bit of a Jeffrey an Epstein kind of vibe.
God.
So they literally said that it used to be a whorehouse, the hotel we were staying in, which is called the Hunklip Hotel. If you ever want to go there and have a little historic tour,
I think I'm okay.
And then I renamed it the Hunklip Hotel, which they didn't think was funny.
Dave, are you behaving yourself? You're not embarrassing anyone. You're traveling around the country.
No, I'm listening to your show.
Usually we keep you on the East Rand, and therefore we can contain some of the bad behavior.
And normally you only pre-record my stuff in case I say something stupid. But I'm also proud that I got the creeps and the farts completely 100% right. So
well done. That's fantastic. You really do have a talent. Next time we'll bring you in for that game.
I will. I'll bring, and also I can do, the funny part I feel is just underrated. It's like an applause. It's a round of applause totally. For the work you did.
All right.
And Leanne understands that. But yes, right. We did it. It was fun. We're going to make a movie, and it's going to be on either Amazon or Netflix, and it's about just traveling around and seeing. We called it Finding Funnyland, which is sort of a play on leaving Neverland. But we're trying to find out what's so bloody funny in this country, because we've lost our sense of humor, man. This whole comedy thing's become a minefield for us.
Yeah, it's sad that everybody's so woke that they've forgotten how to laugh. And I always think humorlessness is exactly the hallmark of the people who we need to be most afraid of. The minute you,
or it's the beginning of the end.
Yeah, well, I think we've just got to fight back the way that people like Dave Chappelle are in America at the moment, and just remind these people we don't give a shit whether they approve of us or not. We're going to find stuff funny whether they like it or not. And you know, the funny thing, I don't want to get too philosophical, but you're a comic and you understand this better than anyone. You cannot make someone laugh, and you cannot stop someone from laughing. Laughing is an involuntary response, you know? And I think that's a tremendous ability that comedians have.
Well, I think our friend Trevor's been nominated for a Grammy or Emmy or something for his album.
Yes.
Son of Patricia.
Yes.
And the way that Dave Chappelle does it with charm and does it with wit that we can't even explain, because he is offending everything.
Yeah.
And then he's just going into this charming sense of, hey, man, this is real.
Yeah. And
stop thinking that you can't use a Chinese accent when someone's speaking to you.
There was that guy who was fired from Saturday Night Live for exactly that.
He didn't even have to go.
Right. I think if
sounds like our podcast.
If laughter is an involuntary response, then anyone who tells you can't laugh at that should just fuck off.
Exactly. And so are queefs.
Yes, and queefs as well. Thank you. All right, thanks, Dave.
So listen, I'll send you the trailer for the movie for our Finding Funnyland, and it was hilarious. We were laughing probably from Joburg to Cape Town, laughing the whole way. It was
at
hilarious.
At the end of this, are you going to rank parts of South Africa for being funny or not funny?
We do want to do that, sort of like an Uber rating.
Yeah.
And it's weird that you wouldn't know that Bloemfontein is actually quite funny, because it's just sad, and the more the sadness, the more the funny.
Shame, that's horrible.
But it was there. Yeah. Nice, and it's just a happy town as well. Just. Happy pink
again
town.
It's probably the drugs. Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Clams. Thanks you. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye. There's Dave Levinson, who of course used to host one of our live shows here, the comedy show. And in fact, we've got a picture of Dave which has remained in the studio, where his head and the head of another comedian, Eric, who used to do the show with him, are the balls on a on a picture of a penis.
That one, yeah.
Great, and lots of guests ask about that, especially old ladies.
Now, what is this here?
All right, what else is going on in the news, Leanne Moll?
Well, there's a big question that's on the minds of evolution experts.
Mm-hmm.
Were there other humans, ooh, which were the first victims of the sixth mass extinction?
Oh, let's try that again.
Extinction.
This is when a lot of species were wiped out all at once. And they're saying that there could have been other kinds of humans.
Yes.
Ones that were maybe smaller. Ones that were slightly differently shaped. Ones that might have survived if they had the qualities that our ancestors did, but didn't, because they were slightly different.
Or did we just kill them?
And eat them.
Oh. We may very well have.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's go through the 9 human species which walked the earth 300,000 years ago.
Oh, this sounds dramatic.
It's really not a long time ago.
No, it's not a long time ago, but this does sound dramatic, so let's have some music. Start it again.
Okay. There are 9 human species which walked the earth 300,000 years ago. Now, there is just one. The Neanderthals, Homo neanderthalensis.
Neanderthalensis.
Did you try to say that with confidence?
Yes.
To pull it off?
They were stocky hunters adapted to Europe's cold climate. The related Denisovans inhabited Asia. While the more primitive Homo erectus lived in Indonesia. And Homo rodentiensis in the central of Africa.
Central of Africa.
Central Africa. Several short, small-brained species survived alongside them.
I know some of those. There's still some of those around now.
Several
small-brained species, bunch of them that I encounter often here in Johannesburg.
Funnily enough, the first one on the list is Homo naledi in South Africa. Homo luzonensis in the Philippines.
Luzonensis.
Luzo.
There is...
No wonder they didn't make it. They're called luzonensis.
I'm sure there's someone somewhere in the world who still has that name.
There were the Homo floresiensis, or the hobbits, in Indonesia. And the mysterious red deer cave people in China.
Oh. All of these were humans...
Yes, and those are only the ones that we've discovered. I mean, given how quickly we've discovered all of these, there are more likely more waiting to be found, right?
All right.
By 10,000 years ago, they were all gone. Mm-hmm. The disappearance of these other species resembles a mass extinction, but there's no obvious environmental catastrophe, no obvious volcanic eruptions, climate change, asteroid impact that was driving it.
Rhinoceros.
Maybe the rhinoceros did it, but instead, the extinction's timing suggests that they were caused by the spread of a new species evolving 260,000 to 350,000 years ago in southern Africa, Homo sapiens.
Holy mackerel!
We caused the spread of us, caused a sixth mass extinction greater than 40,000-year event extending from the disappearance of Ice Age animals to the destruction of rainforests by civilization
today. I just
want
to remind all the climate change people who are all like, oh, we're killing all these species. Well, we started this a long time ago. 6 million years ago, we started killing off all the other species, and we haven't stopped. It's part of what we do.
Horrible people.
This is our legacy. Everybody who's trying to separate their rubbish this morning into plastic and glass and organic matter and paper, good for you. Making zero difference.
Did you know that chimps were there from basically the start?
Yeah, you see, people don't seem to understand that evolution isn't about us coming from chimps. Us and chimps had a mutual ancestor at some point. Mm. You know, like you and your cousin share grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
You and your second cousin share great-grandparents. That doesn't mean that your grandparent carries on living for four generations, and then you and your grandparents are sitting there on the veranda one day, and you say to your grandparent, wow, you know, I can't believe we evolved from each other. That's not how it works. Mm. You had a common ancestor.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yes, as Homo sapiens, we are... extremely dangerous, uniquely dangerous.
We just ruin everything.
We hunted woolly mammoths and ground sloths and mowers to extinction.
Yes.
We destroyed plains and forests for farming, modifying over half the planet's land area. We altered the planet's climate.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, we are most dangerous to other human populations because we compete for resources and land.
Yep.
And we killed off a whole bunch of other humans.
Well, they say we might not have killed off all the Neanderthals, but we might have mated with them.
We definitely did.
Oh, yeah.
And the theory goes, and I'm sure there's lots of proof behind it as well, that your general ginger-haired, fair-skinned, freckly person is of Neanderthal stock.
Well, you know, I did that ancestry test where you send them some saliva,
yes,
and then they figure out what your strains, your phenotypes are. Mm. And it was interesting. It came back and I'm like 3% Neanderthal. A lot of people were expecting me to be about 88% Neanderthal.
Well, that's because of this weird it's people have used the word you Neanderthal in like a disparaging way, but it's actually the name of a type of human.
Suck a muck of this.
Oh, is that how they sounded?
That's exactly how they sounded. That's a Neanderthal busy telling us to leave them alone and please not mate with their women and please not eat the rest of them for food.
Your time was rough.
Homo sapiens You know, we think we're at the top of the food chain, and we, in many respects, we are. And we're so great, and we've developed this, and we've developed that, and humans are so clever, and look at us evolve, and we all got our iPhones. All we've done is reap a whirlwind of destruction everywhere we've been.
Humans, but we're doing it a lot more peacefully.
We kill everything that we can eat. We rape the earth.
Oh.
Yeah, we do. We break it all down. We burn everything in our wake. It's just destruction on a scale that's absolutely unfathomable.
Yeah, it's,
and now we're going to go into outer space and fuck that up too.
Oh, God. Yet it's quite passive aggression, this ruining the climate, etc. You know, doing it with a smile on our faces as we happily empty our plastic rubbish into, mix it up with the rest instead of recycling. Whereas before, these Homo sapiens had weapons and they literally went out and physically killed these other breeds of humans.
All these other things that Leanne was talking about now, these other creatures that lived on the earth, they could have developed alongside us. Who knows? But we know we decided we'd wipe them out.
Hmm.
Just great. Humans are so great. Homo Epstein already existed way back then as well. Those poor Neanderthal girls. That is from Riette this morning. A special thank you to Leanne for her beatboxing track.
Yes.
I played it for some colleagues and now it's all we can say.
Oh,
the one guy at work said it's the best thing he's heard all year. That's from Nikki.
Mm.
Give it to us again.
Born to be chicken. What is it?
To be born to be chicken. Too smart.
God's sake, you two.
To be born to be chicken, too clever to be a chicken. To be born to be chicken, too clever to be a chicken. To be born to be chicken, too clever to be a chicken. To be born to be chicken, too clever.
All right, that's enough. Thank you.
Gareth, you can't rush perfection.
No,
do you think
enough.
People looked at Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer
and said, that's enough?
No.
All right.
Call me MC Hammer from now.
Thank you. That's enough for now. Let's move on. What else is going
on?
Here
we go. We started the year with a story. We're ending the year with a story. It's a ridiculous situation, and the fact that there are updates is insane. Jussie Smollett is back in the news.
A smelly, nasty prick.
And what does
that
he want?
Is exactly the sentiment.
What is that woke? What is that woke? Perpetual victim asshole want now? Has he not embarrassed everyone enough?
Let's backtrack before we...
This is the guy who made up, for those people who don't know, this is the guy who made up a race attack because there's just not enough racism in the world. That this guy had to make up that he was attacked.
For attention.
Mm. He paid two Nigerians to pretend they were assaulting him, then called the police and went on online to say how hard it is to be a black man in America. And we just, you know, there are actual people who have to live with this shit every day.
Mm.
And this guy went out as a spoilt little Hollywood, what would you call him? He's an actor, right?
Yeah.
Mm. It was on Empire.
Yeah.
Goes out and makes up some racism because there's just not enough to go around. Needs some more victimhood. So he grabs some from wherever he can. Beautiful. What does he want now?
Can you believe it's... We honestly started the year with
this. He should have gone to jail. He should have gone to jail. What you do when you do that is you waste the police's time. And someone who's actually a victim, who really needs help, someone, a woman who's been abused, or a child who's in a precarious situation, or someone who's been attacked by somebody, those people can't have the police on their case because some Hollywood actor is acting in the real world, making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
What has he done? What's new?
The new thing is that he's taking the city of Chicago now and wanting to file, well, and actually has filed a lawsuit against the city of Chicago. Now, I say let's backtrack a bit because the most recent update was that the city of Chicago was suing him for $130,000, saying that he needs to pay that for the police overtime costs to investigate his beating claim, which has now turned out to, according to the city, to be a hoax. Well, now, according from this week, Jussie has filed a lawsuit accusing the city of Chicago for maliciously prosecuting him after concluding that the actors claim to having been the victim victim of this racist and homophobic beating on one of the Chicago streets.
It wasn't just racism.
No, it was homophobic as well.
Also a bit of homophobia because there just isn't enough.
Everything is lumped into one. So he's just not letting up. And, you know, one would have thought that whether it is or isn't real, but I'm sure we all have our stance
he's
on
like
the matter.
He's like one of those attention-seeking YouTubers.
He could have gone into the shadows and kept quiet.
Look at what the Chicago police chief had to say. Go and check that out on YouTube. And Rahm Emanuel, who was at the time the mayor of Chicago. In fact, Rahm Emanuel's on the line. Yes, Mr. Mayor, go ahead.
Fuck you!
All right, everybody calm down.
That's enough of him.
So he's accused, in this lawsuit, he's accusing the city of Chicago, police, and others of causing, in his words, substantial economic damages, as well as reputational harm, humiliation, mental anguish, and extreme emotional distress.
It really is time that all these people who think that it's interesting for us to hear about how they've struggled in their life realize that none of us care, and that actually no one's interested in your story unless they ask. And there's no one asking. Listen, hang on, crickets. That's right, because you have to make a life for yourself despite whatever you've been through. And nobody, even if they pretend to care for a little while, is so interested that they want to hear you go on and on about it for a whole year, like Jussie Smollett.
You've even forgotten his name.
Jussie Smollett.
Well, the city is not having it at all, and I think this is quite a stern statement, actually. The city has said the city stands by its original complaint and will continue to pursue this litigation. We fully expect to be successful in defeating these counterclaims.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, snap.
Mm. And does he's still working in TV?
No, he doesn't have anything.
No, that's why he's doing this, because he needs money.
Well, they wrote him out of Empire.
Good.
In the middle of the saga, because they're like, well, you aren't going to stop any of us from working as well. You aren't going to jeopardize
that. Don't ruin
that.
The show for everybody.
Yeah. Right. So.
Good for Jussie. What else is
in
the
news? Well, from a fake assault to a real assault.
Uh-oh.
An Australian tourist who was traveling through India by himself stopped off at one of these villages and was very drunk when he arrived.
Australian tourist in India?
Yes. And he's drunk.
Okay.
He started messing around.
Of course he's drunk. He's Australian.
Yes. Well, that goes without say. I didn't need to put in the drunk.
Sorry.
He was messing around with a couple of women and misbehaving with a couple of local women in the village.
Oh, misbehaving, eh?
Yes. And so what did the villagers do?
Yeah.
All the men caught him, tied him to a street pole, tied his hands with ropes and beat him severely for hours.
Yeah.
So there are photographs of this guy in hospital.
Ooh,
I don't
want to see that.
Still got his hands tied up.
Good.
Oh, no.
And he's been beaten to an absolute pulp.
Listen, this is what used to happen until we had laws.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And in places like India.
We also used to eat our fellow.
No, I know. This guy obviously upset the locals. You know, if you're a tourist in people's country, you try your best not to misbehave, and especially with the local women.
You don't know what their standards are.
What their culture is.
Yeah.
You know?
So this guy's been identified as William K. James from Melbourne. He has suffered grievous injuries after villagers in the southwestern state of Karnataka tied him to this power pole and assaulted him. Well, the police are actually investigating and trying to question and find out everyone who was involved in assaulting him while he was tied up to the post. He was still intoxicated when he arrived at the hospital. So he's been on a real bender.
And they were just whipping him, huh?
Yep. That just shows you. I like the way these men, village of men, stood up for their women. I like that very much.
Mm. Well, you know, like, part of me is definitely on the community's side here, where they decided to take this drunk Australian and teach him a lesson. But then another part of me is like, you know, that is really just a terrible situation where people take the law into their own hands. It happens in this country sometimes. You know, these kangaroo courts, and people get necklaced, and it's just terrible. People get accused of witchcraft, for example. You know, some woman in a village is quietly going about her business, doing nothing to upset anybody, and someone shouts, witch. They pull her out of her house, and then the next thing, she's on fire, and she dies of her burn wounds. It's just, it's ugly, and I don't think we should ever be on the side of mob justice. Mm. A mob is a scary thing. And even if the mob's anger is justified, we do have laws for exactly this reason.
Yeah.
So I can't really take the side of people who take the law into their own hands.
And also him misbehaving with women could have been quite harmless in Western ways.
We don't know.
But just not taken well there.
We don't know.
Hey, do you remember the movie Catch Me If You Can?
Yes.
Leo DiCaprio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember the plot of that movie?
It's like a airline pilot who went rogue.
Well, it was a man who would impersonate.
Oh, that's right.
Be different pilots.
Yeah,
so that he'd get free travel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's taken people who have a lot of time on their hands to actually do this, but someone has done this in real life and has been caught out.
Has he been actually flying the plane?
No. Which I also think is like, not too bad.
What is he, the co-pilot?
No, just a man.
Have you ever seen in a plane,
mm-hmm.
often there'll be other pilots who are catching a flight because they have to fly the way back, or
okay.
they're going to the destination from which they're going to fly, and they're wearing the uniform and everything, so you can see they're pilots.
Yes.
Right.
And no one asks them questions. They get to sit in business class, blah, blah, blah. That's what this guy's doing.
Rajan Mubani from India has been doing this for years and has just been caught out. He has bought like pilot's uniforms for years and would decide, where do I want to go today? And he'd don that airline's uniform. He'd go through airports with a very slick swagger and step.
Yeah.
No one would ask him anything. And he'd skip through security.
So no passport.
Well, I think he'd have things like that. But, I mean, no one really stops and asks, like, where are you going? What's happening? And
or can we see your pilot credentials?
Yeah, can we check you out properly? No. He'd go and have access into different lounges, and then he'd board a plane, and no one would bat an eyelid. But now he's actually been stopped and charged, which I think is a little unfair. Can't we give them a man a break?
It's just like for a percentage. He deserves an extra percentage of time to carry on doing what he was doing before he's punished.
Yeah.
And I love a victimless crime. Like, I do like it when people get away with something. You know, just because I'm not a very subordinate person. I don't like following the rules.
Shame, Gareth, but what about the person who lost their seat that they could have had in business class?
Oh, please. Okay. I've got no sympathy. You know, if you could pull something like this off and nobody actually gets hurt.
Yeah.
You've scammed the world. Good for you.
So he's been doing this in fooling airport workers just so that he bypasses security lines and also gets seat upgrades. This is, by the way, according to him, so we don't really know if he's objective enough. He was arrested in Delhi this Tuesday, and he was stopped in, like, Lufthansa pilot gear as well, and he was arrested at the departure gate. He was just about to board an Air Asia flight as well, so he was just on his way to another holiday.
Of the world he's seen, and how did he, because he obviously wasn't working,
mm-hmm.
how did he get money in order to stay in these places he was visiting, or is he continuously on a plane?
Who frickin' knows? But I love the fact that he's now singing like a canary, because he says he was inspired a lot by YouTube and TikTok videos on aviation, and he thought, I could possibly do this. He actually got his first, like, Lufthansa fake ID card in Thailand, and since then he's been using it to gain privileges at airports.
I suppose if you almost sneak in behind, because the pilots and flight attendants and the crew all kind of walk in a big group.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. If you slip in behind one of those and just laugh and smile and Pretend you're talking to the person next to you. You'll just get in there like butter.
Yeah.
He's slide on in.
He's now in custody facing charges of cheating and impersonating. And if convicted, he could actually face a year in prison or a fine or both. But this is not the most bizarre story coming out of India pertaining to airports. Actually, most recently, last month, a 32-year-old man was arrested at the exact same airport for impersonating an 81-year-old man so that he could get privileges of being elderly. So he could skip the queue.
Yeah, I've seen
a lot of... Isn't that bad, though? Listen,
I'm sorry. I've seen a lot of people in wheelchairs who are not... There's nothing wrong with them because they get up on the plane to take their seat and they walk fine. They just want to get to the front of the queue and they want to be put on the plane first. And then they want to be looked after and pushed around.
Gareth, let me tell you now.
I'm telling you.
That having a wheelchair, whether it's transporting someone in it or just transporting a wheelchair, is a real downer. It's really difficult. It's not worth it. I think these people are legit.
Ah, please.
To find a wheelchair, to put it in your car, to carry it around, you've got to have wheelchair lifts. You've got to organize special,
they get all
blah,
the good
blah.
Parking. They get onto the plane first. That's enough.
Come on now.
All right, let's meet Brian Mulondo, who is a Ugandan media personality. It's always good to know and get to know new people, especially if they're making a pit stop in our hometown. And we get to know Brian Mulondo. He's a TV and radio host from Uganda, and we'll find out a little bit about him. He's born in Uganda, has done TV, radio, he's done news, he's an MC, and he's going to pop in and give us the lowdown on his career so far. Over 10 years in the media business. So it's a great pleasure to welcome Brian here. Grab a seat, man. How are you?
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Yeah, very good, man.
This is exciting.
What are you doing in Joburg?
I'm just visiting family.
Oh, you got family down here? That's pretty nice. I see the great, the wonderful, and a good friend of ours, Rosie Motene, is here. Hi, Rosie.
I am fabulous. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, my darling.
Nice
you're looking.
To see you.
Yeah, you're looking as glam as ever.
We try.
Yeah. All right. So, Brian, tell me about you. I'm always interested to meet people who are in the media business from all over the continent. We've got a burgeoning market of young people who love consuming content, whether it's on TV, on radio, on the internet. And there's space for people who have a talent and people who have an ability to do things in the media business. Mm. So how did you get into it?
Wow. It's such a long story, but, you know, throughout school, I was always the funny guy.
Yeah.
The intelligent.
Bit of attention seeker. I mean, that there's a bit of that in all of us.
Okay. Okay, let's go with that.
All right.
But it has always been like that from school. Minister in charge of entertainment. And so when I grew up, I was more interested in foreign service.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So I studied international relations at university, and I remember
you would become a diplomat. Then.
Yes, foreign service officer, and it was like very trending back in Uganda. The young guys who are joining foreign service were very, you know, bourgeois,
very polished people,
very polished,
always dressed well, spoke well, and were well turned out so that they could represent the country.
Yes, and so that was something I always wanted to do, but I remember when I was going to write my final exam, I got a call from someone that worked at a church that had literally an entire media section set up. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, he's like, "Hey, Brian, can you just come through for an interview?" I'm like, "Yes, I have. You mean I have a job before I finish university? Awesome.
Damn right. Yeah. They're going to pay you?"
Yeah.
What a win.
So when I went in, he's like, "Yeah, we know that you can create some stuff, but we want you to come on as a producer, stuff like that, and write for us some skits if you can." And
for the church?
Yes.
The church was doing comedy skits?
Yes, the news. So, yes, so the
Gareth, Christians have fun too, you know.
Okay. It's been a long time since I went to church. Last time I caught fire, so I stayed the hell out of it.
So it was, and they were producing a news bulletin.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked at the news bulletin, I talked to the guy and was like, I can do better than all those guys. Give me one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually sent him a text. He says he still has the text till today in his phone. So one day he, you know, got his phone and said, this is the text you sent me like 8 years ago.
Wow.
Like, really?
And did he give you a...
He gave me one shot.
Uh-huh.
And...
To do the news.
To do the news.
And the news, you have to be serious. And you have to be credible.
And I brought it.
Oh, did you? You're a serious man. For that moment, they wouldn't have known the difference between you and Walter Cronkite.
I did a good job.
You put on a news voice, you go, and here is the news.
Good evening.
Oh, there
welcome.
There we go. All right.
So I did that, and this was a 5-minute segment. So the biggest TV station, you know, the head of production goes to that church.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw that. He's like, I can get this guy onto the TV. Brought me in. At the time, there was a show in the UK. So we kind of, you know, ripped idea and we replicated it in Uganda about con men and con artists. I forget the name of the show. Very popular show.
The Hustle.
The Hustle.
Yeah.
So we took The Hustle and started doing sketch comedy and all these interesting clips, and that show was number one in Uganda for like 3 years. So I was hosting the
show.
Mm. Yes. So I did that.
Do you know Kansime Ann?
I hosted a show with Kansime Ann for like 3 years.
She's my favorite, and well, I've only just met you, but she's been my favorite for a long time.
So the favorite you got.
Kansime Ann is, yeah, she's terrific.
She's crazy.
I like her a lot. So, I watch all of her stuff.
So you guys got to know her because of me.
Oh.
That's a good one.
There's the hierarchy.
So I was doing this show with her.
Someone better call the mayor because he's not here to welcome you this morning. I feel like you're getting...
I don't.
Let me go through some of the stuff you've done here. Mm-hmm. So you've done radio as well.
Yes.
You're the host of Mighty Breakfast 933KFM. That's 2017 you started doing that.
Yes.
Done lots of MC work for all kinds of awards.
Yes.
You've also done lots of TV from 2007 already.
Yes.
And we've got amazing shows here. I mean, we're talking about... being the news anchor, as you said,
yeah.
Game shows.
Yes,
we're talking about a series.
Yeah,
this is a lot of different work. Are there other people vying for some of these jobs? Do you get what a lot of people in this country get because you're a successful man in media and you do so many things?
Mm.
People say, "Oh, come on, give us a chance. You're taking all the work."
Yeah,
and you tell them to get screwed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've done that. So
good for you.
The radio show has given me an opportunity to really say exactly what is on my mind.
Uh-huh.
So the network also is about that. You know, it's an independent media. It's the most trusted media in the country. So through that, you know, anyone can just call and say, Brian, you suck.
Mm.
And I say, yeah, you suck too.
Yes, that's so, always the best way to deal with criticism. Throw it right back at. No, I agree.
So I through that I have had, and one of the guys called me and said, hey, but you do so many things. I'm like, yeah, I do so many things because I do not want, when I die, I do not want it, you know, to be in the paper and they just say man dead. I want it to be written, Brian Mulondo.
Man dead, that's a pretty horrible headline.
Yeah, by press time, but you know those statements like, by press time, we had not established his family.
Oh.
I do not want to be remembered like that.
That's a horrible
way to go. I want my name to be written, Brian. Brian's candle burns out.
Yeah.
Ooh. And so I want to be, and that's the thing I'm doing now with young people. So I have started my own shows.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Garage Group. Okay, so let's talk about this because this is what you're heading to now.
Yes.
And you're helping other people because this is where you know that you're successful because you can now start turning that into stuff that's useful to others. So tell me what the Garage Group does and what kind of shows you guys produce.
Yeah, first of all, Garage was born out of the fact that I was staying in a garage. When I left my parents' home,
Nothing wrong with that. Google started in a garage.
Yes, so yeah. I went, got a garage, and when I got this first gig, they told me, we don't hire individuals, we hire companies.
Hmm.
I'm like, really? Okay. So what's the name of your company? Like, I have it here. It's called Garage. Went down the next day, registered it.
The Garage Group.
The Garage Group. So through that, we are now a fully production company. We have a show called The Timeline that we produce, airs 5 times a day.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yes, it's a 5-minute clip that curates all conversations on social media. So through that, I have been able to groom now 4 people that have left the show and gone on to other networks, and they are doing very well. Just groomed a major news anchor. So they start here. They start at
you Garrett. Train them as well as we give train them a show and an opportunity? You train them?
Yes.
Okay.
We do
so
all
tell that. Me quickly, with the production values in television that have changed so much, I mean, you could film on your phone,
yes,
for example, and it's just as good, if not better, than what some people need, huge camera and studio and sound and lighting rigs for.
Yeah.
You can do all of that now, and anyone can be in production.
Yes.
You know, and it's all about the quality of the content,
yes,
but it's also about the gravity or the usefulness or the entertainment value of your content,
yes,
not just the stuff that makes it look good.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that it's something that we should be doing more of on this continent? We've got talented people,
mm-hmm,
we've got great stories to tell,
yeah. And especially for young people, if you're operating in an environment where, you know, you're not just going to walk in, you go maybe to a major network and say, I need a job, you can create your own stuff. And
right.
And technology has enabled that. You can start your own podcast, your own channel, and impact the world wherever you are. So,
what is the market like in Uganda for podcasts at the moment?
So we are just starting, and in fact, yeah. I was having a conversation with Rosie. I'm like, there are a couple of guys who are good, but they are not really trusted. The idea of podcast is just, you know,
it's brand new.
It's brand new, and we want to do that. So actually, when I get back home, that's gonna be a huge part of what I do. So I'll probably get some of the guys to come here, and they get some training, delivery.
Yeah, don't expect it for free, but sure.
Yeah,
and also, I mean, there's still a lot of people in Uganda, I think, who want the government to control what's going on in terms of broadcast, but the majority want more freedom. And podcasting is almost the ultimate freedom.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, the government is doing what it has to do. Policy making, the laws are getting tighter, the censorship is getting tighter, but people want conversations that just evoke those emotions. They want to say whatever they want to be a part of. So what the show that I did
with... Yoweri Museveni's still alive, huh? He's still going.
He's still going.
Yeah, I don't want to get you into trouble. Don't panic. I'm not going to make you say anything.
He's still
wearing those hats? He's got like a signature hat as well.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, I suppose better than Idi Amin. So, you know, let's take what we can get.
Hey, they'll stop me at the airport. So, my friend, so you are from South Africa.
Yeah, what did you do there?
What did you say?
I went to visit this complete
nutcase. We have that recording.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to straight to prison. That's what's going to happen. Oh, man. So, Rosie, come and sit down here for a second. Rosie's busy filming all of this. So, how did you and Brian meet? Because you've been traveling the continent.
I was actually his boss.
Oh,
yes. When I was head of productions and programming at NTV,
mm-hmm,
when I lived there in 2016.
Was he quite expensive? Did you have to pay him a lot of money?
Yeah, he is actually very expensive. And then through my talent agency, obviously, we booked him.
Yeah.
And so he's one of our clients as a speaker and MC.
Okay, yeah. Getting him some work down here as well?
Trying to. That's okay. So we've been doing a lot of PR. We've doing a lot of more business synergies because we're at Discop. And seeing, because he has a huge amount of content, him and his business partners, but they don't know what to do with it, and they don't know how to leverage off it. So that is part of the plan from him being here.
And tell everybody about your talent agency.
Okay, so
and by the way, you're going to get a flood of people now who are going to say, "Oh, can we sign up?" She's not looking for talent. She's looking work for the talent she already has.
Thank you very much, Gareth. So we're a Pan-African talent agency, and we have footprint in 14 different African African countries, East and West in the SADC region.
Yeah.
We only focus on TV, radio personalities, speakers, digital influencers, no musicians and no models, purely because I've never worked in that side of the industry and I don't want to.
For one, models are being ostracized. Yeah.
No.
Go get a model. Burger and leave us alone.
Eat something.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, so Brian, what's next for you? Besides the podcast that you're going to start when you get back home.
Yeah, so again, we want to just help young people realize their potential. There's a lot. We're probably the youngest country in the world. 75% of the population is under the age of 30.
Wow.
It's a time bomb if we don't do anything
about it. People have to
find
something to do.
Yes, so if you don't get those people now and give them something you know, skill them, whether it's radio or TV or vocational skills, we're going to have a problem.
You're basically a senior in Uganda.
I am. And so I am respected.
And responsible.
I'm 35, but there's a lot of responsibility on me because I am part of the younger generation that has been successful.
Oh, please, in your country, you're old.
I am a grandfather.
Yeah, you're a grandfather. People are looking at you going, all right, Grabs, time to retire. Make some space for us.
And you say that, but, you know, you might say that as a joke, but that is a conversation. Like, Brian, you've been here for too long.
Yeah, I mean...
And I'm like, no,
a couple of years, and you're like, what?
Yes, I just got here. So,
so question for you. There are a lot of questions actually coming in for you this morning. Jason says... Do you know Pastor Martin Sempa?
Yes.
He is the Pastor Manning of Uganda. Who is this man?
He's a brilliant pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the work he's doing with the university. He has set up a church, and he's also doing a lot of work in HIV and AIDS.
Oh, okay.
He's very controversial because he is anti-LGBTQ. He has interesting, weird... conversations about...
But then most of the Ugandan population are also not particularly open-minded on the question of LGBT.
No. So he's very popular. He's doing...
Is it true your flag has got a chicken in the middle of it?
Not chicken. It's called a crested crane. The most beautiful bird in the world. Come on, man. Our country is... we are called the Pearl of Africa.
All right, you keep telling yourself that.
You just made Winston Churchill.
All right. Brian, thank you very much. You don't go away because we've got George Meany here. George is the CEO of Auto Trader here in South Africa. They are the biggest website in the country for people who want to buy and sell cars. Right, nice. George?
How's it, Gareth? Yes.
Yes, and George is here. Every Friday he comes in to share with us stories about the world of motoring, the lifestyle around it, things that we need to know. Rules of the road, changes to what's going on people's commute into and out of work every day. Mm. What do you got for us today, George?
Well, the Black Friday is coming up.
Oh boy. Stay away. Stay away.
Except if you want
the only time that white people can say, oh boy, when they hear that something black is coming.
Step away from the mic. Step away from the mic.
Well, let's just be very careful because this Black Friday is a terrible idea. People lose their minds.
It gains in popularity. Oh. It was an American thing, and now it's gaining more and more in population and popularity.
People spend money they don't need to spend. It's very, very bad.
Well, if you do need to buy a car, visit us at Black Friday, because last year we did Black Friday, and we had 1,638 cars listed at special deals to the value of 1.2 billion rand, and the saving was 170 million rand.
Yes, but this is great because you're online, you see. I don't have to actually go anywhere. Mm.
No, exactly.
But buy it online.
Who takes the loss on that?
Well, it's not. It's people just move cars at a cheaper price and compress their margin to move volume.
Okay. Hmm.
Give me more. Come on.
Was that the Neanderthal?
No, that's can people getting excited about your Black Friday sale.
Thought it was the Neanderthal that could drive.
More car sales. All right.
And then the Mustang. You know the Mustang? The old...
My brother wants to buy one. He wants to buy one of those old ones and refurbish it.
I love those old ones. But Mustang has now gone electric with the Mach-E. It looks a little bit like a Tesla. I think they're trying to copy the Tesla, but it's a little bit disappointing because the fastest variant of this Mustang only does 0 to 100 in 3.5 seconds.
Hmm. Tell me quickly. Okay. We had a question this morning about whether or not electric cars are rugged and manly, or whether people think that they're still a little bit soft.
So the only thing that's missing from an electric car versus an ICE vehicle is the sound or the noise.
Exhaust noise.
The exhaust noise. Yeah. So you tell me whether you are...
And it goes...
Exactly.
People don't really...
So are you manly because you want the noise?
But then can't we just build something? I mean, this is... Maybe you and I should start a business, George, where we just build some sort of audio output
device.
Or
hire a guy to cycle next sure to you with a trombo.
I'm sure they're going
to. That's linked to the accelerator. And when you're driving an electric car and you want to show off, like a lot of these douchebags do on the roads, you can put your foot down and this automatically goes at the same time. So you don't have to sound like...
Yeah, but some men sound like that.
What? I'd rather sound...
Yeah.
Well,
so, right.
All the noise pollution. No.
I don't like noisy cars.
I don't like noisy cars.
That's besides the point. And then we also had a story this morning. You can corroborate the evidence around this. Apparently, they are bringing out a new pickup truck, which is electric.
Tesla.
Yes.
Yes.
And a lot of people talking about that because we've got a big bucky culture in South Africa. People like pickup trucks.
Exactly.
They like pickup trucks in Uganda?
Yeah.
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 What's useful, you know? Utility vehicle.
Avoid the potholes.
Right. And do you
especially
think
the potholes.
Do you think an electric one will do well?
Electric pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? You know, the biggest advantage over an ICE vehicle, which is the instant torque. So if you're really using a bucky or a 4x4 for off-road use, that instant torque is incredibly useful. You know, have you ever gone an off-road track or an off-road or off-road and up a steep incline and you because you don't have instant torque, you battle.
Yeah.
With so traction or power?
No, just with the delivery of the power. Even if the car is a V6 or a V8, the delay in the power output to the wheels is where the electric car wins hands down. You know, Gareth's driven the i3 and the Tesla, and when you put your foot down, that power's there immediately.
Yeah, so you're saying these could actually be better for people who are looking for that delivery of power.
Exactly. Okay. You know, off-road or even carrying goods. So if we're a bucky nation, then obviously the Bucky Brigade, the one-man show businesses, they're carrying stuff on the back of those buckies. When you load those buckies, you need power delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And the electric vehicle delivers the power instantly.
Well,
so
Brian's going to need one for all these people that he's giving jobs to. You know, load them on the back of the bucky. Kansima Ann is going to be his co-pilot. And they need to drive around Uganda.
If you load people on the back of buckies in South Africa, which I think is appalling, but you put your foot down in an electric bucky, and those people are going to fly off the back.
I learnt as a child to hold on. Isn't that what you should...
No, I see people sitting on the tailgate. Woohoo! Like they're surfing the freaking Titanic.
Not all of us survive.
I've been on the back of a bucky that's been converted into a game range vehicle with the...
Yes.
The seats that are really high.
Uh-huh.
And I was right at the back and we were messing around. My brother-in-law was driving and we were on a dirt road and turning a corner. And I shouted, "Hold on, everybody!" And fell right off the top.
You're an idiot.
So you can tell yourself to hold on, but there's only so much holding on you can do.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay, well, very exciting. These electric cars are really taking over.
Oh, yeah. A new study in the U.S. has just been published where the interest in electric cars has gone up year over year by one-third. So the interest is growing. People's concerns all over the world are still infrastructure and range anxiety, but that seems to be going away. Pirelli has a new feature in the future of their tires.
Oh, I only really think about Pirelli when I think of their calendar, but they've abandoned that as well, haven't they? Because it's not politically...
Because they're trying to stick to tires.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I don't even know what kind of tires I got in my car. What can you tell me about Pirelli?
Well, Pirelli, and I'm pretty sure the other tire manufacturers are going to follow suit, they are now able to insert a sensor into the tire that can detect things about the tire. So this sensor is powered by its own power source and works with the 5G network. Now, the most interesting thing about these tires is that it can transmit information to other drivers around the car that the tires are fitted to. So, for instance, if you're driving a car with this set of Pirellis on it and your car begins to even aquaplane, it can send a message to the car behind you to say, this car is in danger of having an accident.
Well, in this country, because people don't maintain their cars so well, you're going to be getting so many messages while you're driving. You're not going to know what's going on. You're going to have an accident.
Wheel
just from
about
the
to come off of taxi in front of you.
Yeah. Exactly. Your dashboard's going to go off second to none. But that's not the only type of sensor that people are developing. You know MIT?
Yes.
I mean, they're smart, smart people. So they've developed an autonomous vehicle piece of technology that can figure out how big of an arsehole another driver is.
Wow.
I do like that. That sounds like
the arsehole detector, it's commonly being termed, and it gives cars some crude analog information to something that we're generally born with, which is social awareness. So what the sensors do is it senses the driving behavior of other cars around you. And, you know, if you make micro movements, the car begins to learn what those micro movements are and then gives you a readout as to whether you're in danger of being in the presence of another arsehole driver.
I like that, but you're going to have so many messages.
I was remembering just this morning that once I was driving along and I heard something heavy and metal hit the roof of my car, and it rolled down my window and landed on top of my windscreen wiper, and it was a bolt, whatever, from
another car.
Someone's wheel. That must have flung off while they were driving.
You're lucky it didn't come through your windscreen.
Yeah, exactly. It was quite a soft landing. I think it must have traveled from really far.
Well, these sensors in these cars can avoid those kinds of things because they can tell you that something's going to happen before it happens. And so this lot at MIT use social psychology game theory to try and build the algorithms that give the car the ability to tell whether someone else in traffic is an arsehole or not.
I wonder if I would come up as an arsehole.
Don't know.
On people's dashboard.
When you're driving a manual, yes.
Are you talking about me specifically or generally? I'm saying I am an arsehole. Okay, thanks. This is how I hoped my Friday would go.
I've been in the car with you driving manual.
I mean, this wasn't in this piece of research, but I wonder if the car tells you or only other drivers that you're an arsehole.
Yeah, you should be able to select it.
You know, what if people have a bad temper and they get this message that they're an arsehole and they start getting cross and then they drive even more like an arsehole.
Caught them on a bad day.
Exactly. We'll just avoid them.
Terrible.
And then a couple of weeks ago, remember I told you about Guy Martin and his tractor speed record?
Yes.
So he has now built another tractor, and he's not happy with 103 miles per hour, and he shot for 135 miles per hour and hit it.
So tractor actually needs a parachute to help slow it down.
That is correct.
It's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's also stupid because who needs a tractor that goes that fast? You know, whatever blows your head.
And then we haven't had any more news, more major news. But the Bloodhound has reached 1,010 kilometers per hour. So they're incrementally going up in the last week, and the Kyalami 9-hour is happening this weekend.
Okay. So loads of stuff to think about this morning. Thank you, George.
Exactly. Thank you.
George Meany, and a little bit of a Friday highlight package of what you need to know in the world of motoring. Don't forget to join them for Auto Central on a Monday morning every week here on cliffcentral.com. Brian, very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rosie Mortena, nice to see you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And we will catch you on Monday, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Have an excellent weekend.
Cliffcentral.com.